everybody, and welcome to another exciting and jam-packed edition of Modern Day Philosophers. I am your host, Danny Lobel. Today's guest is Todd Glass, who is one of my favorite comedians, and we have a great conversation coming up. But first, I want to tell you that Stand Up Records is proud to announce, and rightly so, the vinyl and CD release of Eddie Pepitone's A Great Stillness, which has been newly remastered and has new cover art by Drew Friedman, who, if you're not familiar with, is an incredibly, incredibly talented illustrator who did a series of books that I love called Old Jewish Comedians, where he illustrated lots of old Jewish comedians. I think he did a few of them. He did Old Jewish Comedians and More Old Jewish Comedians and Even More Old Jewish Comedians, which are all really cool books to pick up. Unbelievable art. And now he's also done the art on this new Stamp Records release for Eddie Pepitone's A Great Stillness. Both the CD and the limited edition vinyl are now available through Amazon.com. The remastered audio will be available through StandUpCrap.com. That's StandUpCrap.com, the home for all of Stand Up Records crap. So check it out. Go get Eddie Pepitone's A Great Stillness. And while you're there, maybe pick up my CD. If you have enough money, pick up my CD too, called Some Kind of Comedian. Now, I also want to tell you that my friend Mark Malkoff has a new podcast out, which is really awesome. It's called The Carson Podcast. And on this podcast, he interviews great comedians like Stephen Wright and Charles Grodin, unbelievable guests, about their experience on The Johnny Carson Show and how it changed their life forever. And Mark Malkoff is a longtime friend of mine and an incredibly talented and funny guy. So you don't want to miss this podcast, also available on iTunes, The Carson Podcast. It's a friend of mine, and he's very talented. I think I said that. Go support him. All right, last thing on the agenda, I want to say thank you, a big thank you to the donator who sent some money in this week. I will be sending out some tweaked audio earbuds your way. And if anybody's wondering, yes, I took the week off last week, and yes, I've changed the day that the show comes out to Tuesdays from now on. I'm trying it for a little while. Mondays have been a good run, but let's try Tuesdays, see how that goes. Maybe I'll switch it back to Mondays, maybe I won't. Who knows what surprises the future will bring, right? Who knows? I don't know. Go check out moderndayphilosophers.net. Please donate to the show. It would mean a lot. And enjoy, without any further ado, except for the intro song, my talk with the incredibly funny and talented Mr. Todd Glass.
Hello, and welcome to Modern Day Philosophers.
Modern Day Philosophers.
Having failed to pay attention in school, Danny Lobel, now older and wiser, will attempt to learn basic philosophy 101. Our young hero will be joined by today's top comedians, philosophers all their own. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Danny Lobel.
Modern Day Philosophers.
Testing, 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 testing.
Testing, testing.
Testing.
Leave this in.
Sometimes.
Hello, 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 hello.
Depends how good it is.
Oh, I'll make it better. Okay. Gray skies are gonna have a happy day. How good is it now? Is it better? Huh? You like this? How's that?
Yeah, this is
you
the
like
best.
It?
This is great, Todd. The best mic check we've ever had. Wait, what happened? Why'd you cut it short?
I don't know.
It was so much fun.
I wanted the opening to be so good. Hold
okay,
on.
Okay, do it again. Come on, let's
really
take it again.
Do want it to be good. I got,
we're doing a test of the microphone. Okay, here we go.
This is the opening to the Danny LaBelle Show
with Todd Glass.
It's gonna be so fun! So fun! The Danny LaBelle Show! Today, Todd Glass! Yeah, the Danny LaBelle Show, everybody! Here we go!
Alright! Ladies and gentlemen, I am at the home of comedian Todd Glass. Oh, the music goes out and then it just sounds...
Well, first of all, edit all that out.
No, I'm keeping it.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
We hung out last night, me, you, Kylie, and Yoav. And Yoav's a good friend of mine that I probably haven't mentioned here
he yet. He is. Let me tell you something about him. He gets you.
Yeah.
He gets you like I get you. Like, did you notice last night, like, we were... Just it was, couldn't we? It was killing us. It was the best
joy that someone could bring to you.
It was so much fun. I really had so much fun hanging with you guys.
I won't even explain what you were doing. I mean, you were doing your version of a bad one-man show, yeah. And it was just went on all night long. And I'm telling the audience, and what I loved about it, you've seen enough one-man shows to parody them.
Right. It's when you find good comedy chemistry with somebody, that's it, you know?
It's the best thing in the world. I said, there's a lot of comedians I really like. I like most comedians. I've said it many times. I love hanging
Name
out with
names.
Comedians.
Who do you like?
So many.
Nobody ever
so
does
many.
That.
Oh, yeah. Name them. But then there's another group that just push my buttons in the right fucking way. You know, like Rory Scovel, Andy Kindler, Doug Benson sometimes can really get me just fucking losing it. And, there's a lot of others like that, but it's a good feeling. It's not laughing. It's where you're not just saying it that it hurts. It hurts. Oh. It's like, stop it already.
Thank you.
So fun times last night. Why'd your girlfriend ask me if this neighborhood was safe last night?
Because our neighborhood's not safe. Oh, did she ask you that? We had recently a 7-year-old kid was shot and killed on our block in a drive-by. And we don't live too far away from you.
Things happen everywhere.
So is it a safe neighborhood?
Yes.
Have you had any children shot?
Nothing.
Things don't happen everywhere. There are things that happen.
Well, I've lived here for 12 years. And then, there's been things. Homes get broken into here and there. But overall, no, it's a safe neighborhood.
Okay.
And I have some cameras around, so I keep an eye on everybody. I'm very excited about today's show. I got to be honest. I'm going to tell you, and I have an expression on my show to George Carlin. That just means the truth. So I'm telling the truth.
Right.
Because I don't try to come up with a more refreshed version than I swear to God or, you know, swearing on your children or, you know, when people say I swear on my family. People always go, I won't do that. I always go, not that I believe in it, but if you're not lying, it's okay. Mm-hmm. So like if someone's telling the God honest truth and you go, do you swear on your mom? You go, yes. And if you're not lying, there's no harm done.
Right.
There's no harm done either way, but it's still a bad vibe to swear on somebody's health when you're lying.
Why bring someone else into it?
Yeah, even if nothing could happen, you know, you don't have almighty powers, but still, it's a little
bit. That's why I never get too close to anybody. I don't want to find out they're swearing on my life.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But to George Carlin, the whole concept of your show, it's like, I'm very, like, intrigued. So the pauses when I'm like, well, maybe I'll just shut up so we get to that part. Because I'm intrigued by it.
You're intrigued.
Yeah, I've never done it. I know a little bit about it. I know Some of my friends said they heard the episode with, it was a great episode.
The Lewis Black?
Lewis Black, but there were some other people on, weren't there? Or you had other people.
Maria Bamford?
I think it was Lewis Black they were talking about. I'm not sure, to be honest. They just said
Bill
they heard
Burr?
It.
There was a Bill Burr.
Bill Burr.
Yeah.
It was Bill Burr. Jesus Christ. Really nailing me on this.
I'm sorry. Well, you want to bring up a compliment.
I have a book coming out in April called The Todd Glass Situation. And, you know, I don't know if it's going to be successful or it's not. But the other day, my friend Tom Martin said something good. I said, worst case scenario, people will know another maybe part of me. Mm-hmm. You know, worst case scenario. And Tom said, he goes, well, worst case scenario, you told your story. Like, off, you know, that obligatory when you die, your life is up to that point is in a book. So I like that way better.
What do you talk about in the book?
You know, it's a mixture of you know, stories about everything in my life. You know, what attracted them is when I went on Marc Maron and I, you know, admitted I was Marc Maron. when I came out.
Right.
I have to say that. I have to stop being having that term bother me. I take out the word closet.
Why?
Just because it's just, I don't know why, but you know what? I bet someone else could. This sounds really weird. I bet Paul Tompkins could explain it to me better than I can explain it. He just has a way. I go, why does that bother me? And he would tell me, and I would go, oh, I love you, Paul Tompkins. So I don't know why, but it has nothing to do with being shameful about who I am. Not at all. Even when I was closed about it, inwardly, always, because my family knew that it was just a societal shit that was going on. But I knew inside I was decent, but outside. But so anyway, it's about that. And that's a big part of it. But then it's also about, you know, doing stand-up since I was in 11th grade and all that stuff that goes on that you don't even, you forget about, you know? And so it's both of those things. And it's called The Todd Glass Situation. They wouldn't let, I wanted to name it. And Simon & Schuster has been so, so, so awesome. They really have been, business-wise and also warmth-wise. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of personal stuff here. You want the people you're working with to like, and the ghostwriter.
Was one of them better to you than the other?
No, they were all great.
Simon or Schuster? No.
Shut up.
I'm sorry.
No, but so I wanted to call the. I'm prefacing that because I really do had a great relationship with them, and never done this before. Right, and I was nervous, and it's the hardest I've ever worked on anything my entire life. Really is, and it's soul bearing. There's some personal stuff, not too much, but some personal stuff where I would have to ask, like, why am I telling this? Is this? And they would tell me why, and I'd be like, that makes sense. But I wanted to call it, and they didn't. They didn't, I don't want to say let me, because we had very many intelligent conversations going back and forth. And they sort of, they said, I wanted to call it If I Could Only Meet a Girl with Cancer and other stupid things I said to keep the closet door shut. Mm-hmm. And I think most people right away would go, okay, that's, he probably, do you, can, if intriguing. I tell you that, that's why do you think that name is? Like, and by the way, if I'm, what's your guess at what was that? Like, if I could only meet a girl with cancer and other stupid things I said to keep closet door shut. That's a story in the book that I tell.
Sure.
For
in other words, you're looking for a woman that doesn't exist. You're telling people that's the reason why you're not with a woman.
Because that's so. I think you're right. Yeah, that we could go out for 3 months and then I could go, oh, Todd never got over Karen. You know, she died of cancer. Now, that was a really plan. Like, and you don't think it through. There's no, you don't, if you take logic and apply it to that, well, you'd still love someone that was dying and you'd get to know them. Yeah, you're applying logic to it. Mm. This was a 19-year-old at the time that was just like, I was half kidding, half serious, but if I could meet a girl with cancer, and then we'd go out for a year or two or three, and then, I'd be like, oh, poor Todd. You know, he never got over her. Yeah. It's really sad. Oh, I thought he might be. No. He was dating a girl. So that's what I wanted to name the book. I thought it would be great on the cover. What's that about? And the subtitle explains it.
I like it.
You put it in context. And other stupid things I said,
Right.
So, but anyway, enough
of that. So they wouldn't let you do that?
They weren't crazy about the title. They thought it might be, too jarring, or I don't know the specifics of inwardly what went on.
A lot of what you talked about on that Mark Maron episode was really fascinating, and one of the things was being defined by the word gay.
Yeah.
Because for me, I find it relatable in some ways. Like, one, I don't ever want to be the fat comedian. So for years, I avoided talking about being heavy on stage. Now I talk about it a little bit in my own way. But I just didn't want to be like, oh, that's the fat comedian. It takes away your own identity, which is actually, identity is what we're going to be talking about with the philosophy.
Cool. Well, let me just address that really quick, what you just said. I know what you mean. Like, you went out of your way and to not talk about it, but then you go, well, wait, that is a part of my life, dealing with it. And so if you're going to talk about it, you're not going to do it in a generically overdone, been done a million times before way.
Right.
So you go, wait, I got to talk about this, but I'll do it in my own personal way. It's a great comparison, because I've seen people talk about this in a very... A lot of comedians, like, when I was like 25, that talked about it, it was a very just generic, not a personal story.
It's a pandering in a way, right?
Everybody else, when I was younger, everybody else was playing with G.I. Joes, and I was playing with Barbie dolls.
right.
Really? Is that, because that's not my story.
Because you're just giving them what they expect you to, you're just basically presenting them what they already think.
Right, exactly. Something that they can go, oh yeah, when that's not fucking true, that's not the way it was with me. I don't know why I'm saying the word fucking.
No, you just don't. Oh, there's nothing unique about you. You're just another one of that.
Yes, there was a million of those. And, now I like it, because there's like, it's a new era, and it's great. It's like, I didn't want it to be part of my being either. Mm-hmm. But exactly what you just said, I go, well, wait a second. When people look at me, I just wanted them to think like, okay, now Todd did that. Now he's just back to being funny.
Right.
And there are times where I could bring it up. Not in my act yet that much. I will. When I'm ready to talk about it in my act, I will. I don't lie and say I have a girlfriend anymore. Mm-hmm. But also, when I'm on radio now, or when I'm on my podcast and something's in the news about that, I can talk about it from an honest place. I used to always be open-minded about it. I never said stupid shit to hide who I was. Like, I said homophobic stuff to hide who I was. But I would just try to do it like, I'm just an open-minded person. But you're hiding some of the truth to why you're so passionate right. about it. Now that's an honesty I can have.
Is that for you the best part of, I don't know what to call it now because you don't like calling it coming out, but
yeah, it's okay. I get it. It's almost like I have to say that, but I also get it.
Right,
what other fucking term is there? Coming out's fine. I wanted to say like maybe busting out of the shed because that could be like more manly.
Right.
Or
busting out of the shed.
Yeah,
kicking
the
shed doors open.
Yeah, I kicked the shed doors open about a month ago.
You shed the shed.
I shed the shed. I like that. But what were you going to ask me since I busted out of the shed?
It is the most, because I would imagine that the most gratifying part is being able to live a fully honest existence with the world.
It's you know, it sounds so, the reason I say something sounds cliche is because it's like something people might have heard, but I want to know, no. This is the fucking, it's the truth. Mm-hmm. And yes, I was already happy before. I really was. I like life, you know. Mm-hmm. I get sad like other people, obviously, and I get into funks. But overall, I really enjoy life, and I was a happy person. I really was. And I had my circle of friends that knew, but I never realized this is much better. This is much better. And also to find out how many,
It's an odd thing. It's a societal pressure to lie about an aspect of your life. Like when I think about, like, you see homophobic people on television or something, what are they really asking of gay people? They're saying, do us a favor, just lie about this, about a big part of your identity.
Yeah. And by the way, it's not the only lie. It's like people that email me, I found there's other lies. And I said this on the show and I'm going to repeat it now to remind myself, empathy is not a fucking competition. Don't get that where someone tries to relate with you and you go, no, my plight's harder than yours. I don't care what it is, by the way. I'll even make a silly joke. What if someone comes up to me and goes, I know, I had red hair in high school and I got picked on a lot. I then go, all right, even I said empathy's not a competition, but that, I'll take it. You know why? Because I know one thing for fucking sure.
Yeah.
That person doesn't care about you and your and what some people judged you on, they could give a fuck. They're talking to you. You might think, oh, well, the plight of having red hair is not as hard as the plight of, you know, growing up and being gay. Mm-hmm. But who gives a fuck? How about that they're trying to relate with you? They're coming over and they're going, and people sometimes apologize. They're like, you know, I know it could have been a DUI they hid.
Mm-hmm.
And look, you know, everything was hid in the olden days. If you got a divorce, people hid it. If you had someone, I could just name things. Everything was like, if you had somebody, maybe a family member that was in prison and you were embarrassed about it, let that shit out.
Right.
And even if you don't, the bottom line is it is better. The hiding it is, this is one thing that I hid, but people hide a lot of stuff and it's frustrating and it eats you up inside a little bit when you have to hide shit. And usually once you admit it, no matter what it is, someone's going to come forward usually. And, you know, maybe they're embarrassed to do it in a group situation, but they'll come to you later and go, hey, by the way, I got a DUI 2 years ago. I've been clean for 4 years. Or, you know, it's funny, my dad went to prison for tax evasion about 3 years ago and I've been dealing with that.
Right.
Or, yeah, I, whatever it is. And that's the opposite of what they did in the 50s and 60s. Everything was hidden. Whatever it was. It wasn't just gay and black and women, you know, those issues. It was everything. It was every fucking thing. And that's why we're in the mess we're in now, because people hid everything then. And that never leads to anything good.
Right.
I've said that a million times and I'm always paranoid on every podcast. So people say, how many times is Todd Glass going to say it? This is the first time I've said this. Mm-hmm. And why do I keep saying it? Why do I fucking say that over and over and over and over and over again? Because I want to, and I want to remind people that kids today are doing great things and all the shit we're dealing with now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said this a million times and I'm on million and one right now. All the shit we're dealing with today is because of shit that people did in the past years.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not a generation of kids that came along then fucked things up. It's all the shit in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Hiding shit, making people, you're this and no one's equal. And if that's going to backfire, man, how does that sound if you don't think it would backfire?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like if you went, hey, if we can convince a lot of people that like we're better than them and we'll have like people that are so, we're so much better, they're our slaves and women will have be subservient, life would be a lot easier. Mm-hmm. And then somebody else said, yeah, but if they ever found out it was bullshit and everybody's equal, the world would be in an uproar, wouldn't it?
Right.
And somebody went, no. Well, guess what? That's what happened. Everybody figured out. And once one people got their rights, another group went, hey, we'd like our rights too.
Right.
And everyone feels comfortable to go, yeah, I don't like this. I don't. And don't pick on the next group either. I like those comedians that do that. It's always, I'm done.
Here's my red hair comparison. I've always been a believer in God. But for a long time, I was very embarrassed to be open about that, especially as a comedian, because I'd be around very strong-minded atheist comedians, and I would be too afraid to pipe up and be like, by the way, I don't agree with you. And I felt like I was being dishonest to myself more than I was being dishonest to them, because I was just conforming basically to an opinion around me, you know, because...
Yeah.
Because you want to be, you want to fit in. You want, wherever you are, you want, especially as outcasts, as comedians ourselves, when you're amongst the other outcasts, you want to at least be an incast from right. the outcasts, you know?
And
so,
I think most comedians, and most, I don't know for sure, they really, I know my big thing is taking on organized religion, which obviously, mm-hmm. and I, by the way, I'm not going to lie to you, I do have my concerns or my about God in itself, but my, you know, is there God that can alter the winds, and is there a plan and all that stuff?
I'm guessing you believe not. Right?
I do. Well, hold on. Let me answer that question first. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. And I don't want to mirror the behavior that other people have. It's okay not to know.
Right.
But you're right. You shouldn't have to hide that if you feel differently. And if you're honest about it, you'll have a circle of friends that agree with you and hang out with them. Now, the problem is with this, if they're not doing it for you, other than the one thing of they believe that
right,
there's a
right.
God,
yeah.
then you have to do some soul searching in this situation to find out. You're like, okay, I'm going to be honest. I believe there's a God that alters the winds. And when bad happens, I believe it happens for good. And then you have 10 friends and they all agree with you, mm-hmm. but do they do it for you in other areas?
Right.
Obviously, my you can tell where I'm going with this. They might not, but be honest who you are and you'll create your circle of friends. But my big thing has always been organized religion. The you know, if someone says, I believe in God, but I don't need a fucking middleman, to use a dated expression, I got bigger fish to fry. Okay, I believe there's somebody upstairs and I believe that, you know, I don't need a middleman. I don't need religion to get involved or just it's me and that person. And I think and I talk to that person, even though it's spiritually or whatever, that's okay. But organized religion, I tell you the truth, I'll be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I can't have a fair conversation with someone about it. I cannot, because I can't listen to the other opposing view anymore. And at one point, history will only tell whether I'm right or wrong.
Okay.
To defend organized religion, I can't be even a good journalist about it. Because to be a good journalist, you have to have a strong opinion and shut the fuck up and listen to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But as a society, we're not going to move forward if one time we don't deem things inappropriate, not an opinion. Like, mm-hmm. should black people, I always go to this, should black people, let's not even go to slavery. Should black people be able to marry white people?
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe I'm saying this weird, but as a society, at one point, we deem that's not, we don't agree to disagree. I think you can't run for Congress today and go, I don't think black people should marry white people. Hey, but if some people disagree with me. No, the interview sort of stops because we've moved past that and you're saying ugly, gross, barbaric things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't. So that's how I feel about religion.
There was a point when I shared that view about organized religion. There really was for a long time. And I've shifted my view. I see a lot of value in it.
They've done, let me tell you something. The problem is, and why don't I apply like what I would apply to a child or a human being to organize religion? Like, look at the good they do. You can't just look at the bad.
Right.
But there's a but here. Religion has done great things. But let me tell you something. Overall, and this is why I'm saying, I'm mm-hmm. warning you now, because it's not fair. Let me also say why history will tell whether I'm right or wrong. Because mm-hmm. if we don't deem things facts, we'll never move forward as a society, like the example I just gave. History will tell whether I'm right or wrong. Like, yeah, if it wasn't for people that eventually said, no, I'm not open to change my opinion. Hopefully you fucking listen and listen and listen and listen. And by the time you go, it's closed off.
Mm-hmm.
You've really fucking listened to the other side. You weren't born into this opinion. You listened and you educated and you educated and you educated.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with hitting children. I want to evolve and I can't go, some people think hitting kids is good. Some people think it's bad. The test results
right.
are in.
I agree.
They're in. They're fucking facts.
Yeah.
Just like open heart surgery. You can't go, yeah, I mean, open heart surgery is never successful. Hey, some people think it is. Some people think it isn't. No, there are facts to offer. And there are facts to certain things. So that's how I feel. Now, not to religion.
Right.
I'm just giving you an example.
But I feel
it's done
religion...
too much damage. Just what they've done to their own. Just what they've done
yes,
to their own
been,
people.
There's been a. I agree with you. There's been too much damage, and I think that religion, rather than eradicating it, should be something that can evolve like a society. I think the parts of religion that are bad and that are evil and that cause evil in the world should be done away with. But I think the good parts should be left.
Well, the good parts are just human, basic, good, decent things. When you read things in the Bible and people don't agree with that, I go, yeah, but I'm talking about as an organized religion. They're not forward thinkers. Society has been dragging them in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Now, I get why they can't do. I always say this wrong. People go, well, they couldn't admit they made a mistake because the organization would fall apart. I get that. But I also want to put in front of them to go, you know, they tell everyone, ask for their forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. Be honest. Be honest. Ask for your forgiveness. Well, why haven't they come forth ever and said, please forgive us? We made a lot of people feel horrible about who they were. And you know what? Mm-hmm. Forget about, you know, in my case, near and dear to my heart, what they do to children. Adults are able, if they tell an adult they're going to hell, they're able to consider the source. Mm-hmm. A child,
sure.
And I'm not playing with words, that's fucking child abuse. When you tell a child that he's going to go to hell if he's gay, that's child abuse. Mm-hmm. So now the new pope everyone gives so much credit to, why isn't he coming forth and asking for forgiveness like he asked people to do? Here's one opportunity for you've been asking people to admit what they've done wrong, and you have a fucking great opportunity to not just shut up about it or put it, don't make a big deal about it, sort of what they're doing now. Come forth, take a child's face, put it in your hands and squeeze it and go, you are fine, you are healthy. We're not taking a stance where we're not going to make a big deal about it anymore. We are going to apologize and ask for your forgiveness. We did a lot of harm and we made a lot of children feel really bad. And now we look to you and we do what we've asked you to do for a long time. And that's, please, Father, forgive me for my sins. That type of thing. And therefore, anything else they do is insignificant. It's not like, well, let's look at the good they've did. If you're driving down the street and if you have a kid and you verbally abuse that child, I don't mean just, you know, great parents get short with their kids, but I'm talking about honest verbally abuse your child. But then you give $70 million to an organization of a charitable cause. Doesn't that sort of erase what you did to your kid? No.
No.
Sometimes the wrong is so wrong that no matter what you fucking do, it will not erase it. So I don't care what they've done good. I don't care if you give me, no matter what you say right now, and here's the dangerous part because I'm not listening.
Sure. Okay.
But no matter what you tell me, religion that's done good, I'm not going to argue it. You think I'm going to argue it. Every fucking thing you tell me that religion does good, I'm going to believe you, it's a fact. It doesn't erase what they've done bad.
Yeah, I don't think it does. Yeah. I think you're right.
And when I say you, I mean you is right. Not you. I'm not you.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
But no. You see, I get passionate
you're
about this.
You're very passionate about it.
Why
yes.
shouldn't I? By the way, that's what religious people do. You've seen them up on the pulpit.
Sure.
You know, they're like, and God, and ah! That's how I feel. Right. And one of us is right. 15 years from now, 20 years from now, history will write itself. And this is recorded, so...
But it's your view on it's very black and white. It's very, like, you're either all good or you're all bad.
Sometimes things are black and white in life. And if we don't admit that, we will not deem forward. We will not... Let me ask you a question. Hitting your wife, is there a middle ground?
No.
It's black and white.
Right.
Hitting children, good for them or bad for them?
Bad for them.
There's no in between? Smacking a child across the face?
No.
There's no in between. You're saying to hit your wife or a wife to hit a man or anybody to hit anybody. There's no gray area?
No.
So there are black and whites in life.
There are black
the
and
argument
whites,
here is right. whether the black and white. Now I'm calling. Those agree. You agreed were black and white.
I agree with that.
But
yeah.
Now, so really you're not saying there can't be black and white. There is, but you're saying the issue of the church and religion and organized religion, you're saying that's not black and white. Do I understand that?
No. What I'm saying is there are things within every system that are flawed. And those things are black and white. That's very much bad. That's very much good. What I think is that to judge something as a whole, you can't look at it black and white. You can't say, well, this is only evil. This is only good.
But but what you can do is something can be so evil where it doesn't, the good that they do. Notice I'm not sitting here going, what does organized religion do good?
Right.
I'm
right.
not asking that because I know they give money to charities and but it doesn't erase what they've done bad. Mm-hmm. It's not like there's a politician and I like what he's done with the energy crisis and I like what he's done with fixing our fiscal budget. But I don't like the way there's something else that I wish he would have done. And you go, well, acknowledge what he did good. That's a good example to go. Don't condemn somebody because they did three good things you like in one. But when it's so monstrous, It doesn't negate what they did good. I'm not implying it didn't happen. That's like if you're driving down the street and you pull over and you save a puppy and you spend $30,000 at the vet to fix it. Right. But then you drive another block. I'm going to get, you know, just really graphic with my analogy here. Sure. And you mind fuck a child or you molest a child.
Right.
Well, that puppy thing isn't a race. That puppy thing fucking happened.
Yeah.
So no one's saying, well, erase the puppy thing. You can't. You saved the fucking puppy. You did an amazing thing or one. But that overall looking at you as a human being, it doesn't fix it. It doesn't. You have the
scale. I'll tell you where my mind goes with this. And I want to say in fairness to anybody out there who is very religious or very pro-organized religion, I'm not the best guy to argue on your behalf because I struggle with these things myself. And all the things you're saying echo ideas that I've contemplated about religion many times. So I'm not going to have as strong and passionate an opinion on this as you because I'm more of a gray area guy. But my mind takes it back to this country, to how we treated Native Americans and how we abused and killed them and took away their food and their land and gave them disease. Such an evil thing that this country was built on. And so many more things, slavery and the way women have been treated in this country and the way the poor have been treated in this country. And there's been so much that I would say is evil and heinous and wrong about America. But to shut down America as a system and say, look, it's so wrong, why have it, you know?
Well, I look at I don't judge America as a whole. I look at each individual and the individuals that are able to say we did heinous things in the past. But let's not, I never condemn anybody, even as a world. But what I am able to do is look at each individual and go, are we able to look at the heinous things we did in the past and stop it? Stop it.
Right,
stop
right,
fucking doing it to another group. Mm-hmm. And that way I'm able to go, okay, you're good. But again, I go back to organized religion. They don't seem to think, they never want to get ahead of the curve. They're just, and by the way, I know there are organized religious groups. I get it. There are Orthodox, or what would you call it, in Judaism, or all the groups. I get there are groups that are forward thinkers. I do get that. There's churches that go, we do not judge people. I get it. But I'm talking about the mass of organized religion. So I don't care. I'm just talking about human being. Yeah, any human being that's willing to say, we've done so much bad in the past, now we're going to stop it. I don't want to be a part of a group that is perpetuating, now we pick on the next group. Because that's what happens. We fight and we fight and we fight and we fight. And then we eventually move past and we leave. We start having respect for that group. It's still a fucking big, long journey. And then we go, what's the next group we can pick on? Leave the next group alone too. I wish I was a bully. Like, no, you know, okay, we'll get our attention off that group. We'll go to this group. And I wish I was. Sometimes I wish I had just, I was able to, like, I don't believe in violence, but I want to be able to stand up and go, no. Hey, the next group. Leave them the fuck alone, too.
Right.
Leave them the fuck alone, too.
Sure.
History will tell. That's my new thing. Right when I get to this point, I go, shut up. You spoke. You said what you wanted to.
Yeah.
Now history writes itself. People will listen to this. In 15 years, 5 years.
I hope so, yeah.
Well, and I hope. I'm doing it from my heart when I talk about this stuff. But I hope in 15 years, someone will find it and go, oh, you know, this guy got it. Not positive, but I'm pretty fucking sure I'm on the right side of things here. Not to nitpick one thing I said or go in. My overall...
Right.
Plight. I think I might be right. Because you know why? I wasn't born with this. I wasn't born with this opinion. I don't want to be right. I want things to be right. So therefore, I don't fucking mind being wrong. So I've come to this conclusion on listening and learning and educating. I wasn't born into an opinion.
Right.
And then I just take that to my death.
Yeah, I think that's a dangerous thing to do.
Of course it is, and that's a lot of people. Yeah. God, this went on long, didn't
it? This is good. You want to get into the philosophy?
I damn right I do.
Okay, Alex says, for Todd, I picked a philosopher who wrote about identity and what goes into making a human mind, John Locke. John Locke I've heard of. Even I've heard of John Locke. John Locke lived from August 29th of 1632 to August 28th of 1704. He is widely known as the father of classical liberalism. He was an English philosopher and physician, regarded as one of the most influential of the Enlightenment thinkers. Considered one of the first of the British empiricists, following the tradition of Francis Bacon, he is equally important to social contract theory. His work greatly affected the development of epistemology and political philosophy. His writings influenced Voltaire and Rousseau, many Scottish Enlightenment thinkers, as well as the American revolutionaries. Locke's theory of mind is often cited as the origin of modern conceptions of identity and self, figuring prominently in the work of later philosophies such as Hume, Rousseau, and Kant. Locke was the first to define the self through a continuity of consciousness. He postulated that the mind was a blank slate, or tabula rasa, I hope I'm saying that right, contrary to Cartesian philosophy based on pre-existing concepts. He maintained that he was born without innate ideas, and that knowledge is instead determined only by experience derived from sense perception.
Can I tell you something? I'm not going to clear my head until I say this.
Yes.
Remember before when I was giving an analogy about sometimes, you know, you can be such a good person and then you do something bad. That's not your whole being. You can, good, great people do sometimes not really nice things and they're still good people.
Right.
So why won't I apply that to the organized religion?
Right.
And my example was that you do good thing for a puppy and then you hurt a child. I should have made it both children. I'm thinking someone's going to go, why'd you compare a dog to a human being? But I think, I know
that you were
most people will
still
get
thinking
it.
About
yeah,
that,
like you, but I should have made it, you do one great thing for this child mm-hmm. and then you do something so horrific. It doesn't erase it. So I feel better that I said that now.
Yeah.
I know that was stupid, but I just picture
when
one
when you were
person,
talking about that, I was thinking about John Lennon because since I've been a kid, I've been a huge John Lennon fan. I've read like every John Lennon biography and until Hurricane Sandy when they all got destroyed, I had every John Lennon album, solo album. As cliche, I'd like it to be somebody much more cooler or underground, but it was really just John Lennon who kind of broke through to me as a kid in yeshiva. And here as a side note, I remember telling the rabbi, I'm like, oh, have you ever heard of the Beatles? They're such a great band. He's like, the Beatles? He's like, they're responsible for the breakdown of modern culture in America. Don't listen to the Beatles. And then I was like, oh, I'm definitely listening to the Beatles.
Right. But, yeah, because by the way, like I always say to someone, if you're confused and you don't know which way to go, it's usually the small minority mm-hmm. that plows past the majority. You know what I mean? Like the small minority has to think about anything in our history. You know, there's a small minority of people that thought, what? Women should be able to vote. What the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. It wasn't the masses. So the small minority is mm-hmm. usually right. And they somehow get it done. Which, by the way, when 20 people can plow past 700, mm-hmm. there's only one way to do it. And it ain't fucking muscle. It's smarts. If you can find a loophole in what I just said, email it to me. So when you have 20 people...
Yeah.
And they plow past 700. They're smart.
Yeah.
So there's usually a small minority of people in this world that think something, and then they get it changed. So if you're ever wondering which way to go, if you're like, you really like reference what this guy just said,
mm-hmm.
not pre-existing thoughts, not what your parents thought. You just want to move forward, use our history, educate yourself with knowledge, and just make a very educated choice.
Mm-hmm.
Go with the small minority. Go with the 20% of the world that's trying to say something. And you'll always, if history is right, you know what I mean? We learn from history. You'll always make an educated choice. What's the small group fighting for? They're usually right.
Unless it's been the small group with the Kool-Aid on the lawn. You got to be careful for them. You got to make sure you find the right small group. You know?
Well, I know. Yeah, there's always loopholes and everything. There, right. I thought that was such a clear thought.
It was a good thought.
But that's not... That's not fighting. Well, I'll think of an example later. But anyway,
because good and bad ideas all come from the same few motherfuckers, right? Like Nazism started out with just a few guys that were like, "This would be a good idea."
Well, yeah. You know what? There goes my whole theory. Well,
I'm
at least.
Sorry.
But guess what?
I'm
the
sorry.
Good part
I feel
is
bad because it's such a well-delivered theory.
Guess what?
Okay, go for it.
I'm into bringing clarity to things. I want to learn if it's not. You're right because you gave the opposing view to that. Someone is listening to this, going, "Well, what about exactly what you just said?" Yeah. So I'll rethink it, and we'll do another show, and I'll see if I can clean that thought up.
So let me go back to my John Lennon example really quickly. So John Lennon became like an Enlightenment thinker for me. And then as I got into reading all these biographies about John Lennon, there was a lot of dark things that Lennon did. Like he beat his wife. Like he wasn't there for his first son and was cruel, said very verbally abusive things to Julian as a child. And there's a lot of things about John Lennon that would make me say, this guy is bad, he's evil. But overwhelmingly, I think what he brought to the world was good. And so that's kind of how I look at organized religion as well. I think if something preaches love strongly enough, as Lennon did, then it needs to be judged on its merits, and it has to evolve past its bad.
I'm going to do something that I hope the people that overall that are listening have been siding with me and need me to go to defense of the difference between that mm-hmm. and organized religion that's been bad and mm-hmm. want me to do a good job of it. I'm going to do you proud. I'm not going to react to what you're saying right now, mm-hmm. but I'm telling you, I always go, like I said, to guys like Greg Proops or Dana Gould or Paul F. Tompkins mm-hmm. and go, explain to me. I'm going to ask them all. And then I'm gonna give you a response why that doesn't work in this case.
Okay.
If I had to bet, they're gonna give me something that I can defend. And then instead of trying right now and doing a half-assed job at it.
Right, right.
I think they're gonna brilliantly be able to explain to me why, for a human being, that doesn't work as far as an organization. This is an organization that's supposed to plow people in the right direction.
Sure.
So my half-baked attempt would be, that's like when the police force, you know, does something wrong. It's different. They're supposed to be the perpetuator of good and dragging people in the right direction to help people. So I think I'll do a better job if I say, give me mm-hmm. a week or the next time we do this podcast, I'm not going to answer yet.
Oh, you know what?
Explain
the answer...
why. Because what I'm basically saying is, why won't, because that makes sense with John Lennon. I agree. Well, this was good. So why I won't apply that to organized religion, I'm not going to answer right now. When I do, okay. I will make your listening audience that agrees with me
and
proud.
I'll appreciate it because I'm not more interested in being right than I am in terms of in hearing and
I know, just want to do it well. Because that is such a great thing you threw at me. I'm guessing here, mm-hmm. when I talk to those three guys or whatever, you know, three people you go to when you want to, you're going to be able to realize that maybe there isn't I don't know. I'm not going to guess. I keep saying
and
I'm not going to guess.
Like I say, I would welcome it because I'm very rarely interested in being right as much as I'm interested
maybe the answer is John Lennon, as his, like I said, if somebody does a great thing for an organization and they give $3 million to an organization and then they do something evil, I already said, it doesn't erase what they did good. Mm-hmm. It just makes their whole being
tainted
as do we respect that human being? Or in other words, if somebody overall, let's say John Lennon did a lot of great things in his career, wrote a lot of songs and forward-thinking, brilliant songs, but cheated on his wife. Should mm-hmm. that negate it? Some people would go, well, no, and I would agree, no. But how bad does it have to get where John Lennon's being isn't a good being? You know, I'm not saying it isn't or it isn't right now. I'm not. I'm saying that's the question. I don't want to preach acceptance and then be a judgmental person that that understands that great, great human beings make mistakes and they make errors. And then we should forgive those people. Mm-hmm. But we can't forgive people unless they realize they made mistakes. And again, if John Lennon's being is to be respected overall, we don't know until he's not here to if he's sitting around. But yes, great, 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 great people and great, great, great organizations make mistakes.
Right, going back to America as an institution. Right.
But are we admitting that that's bad? That's the whole problem. And we don't have a one answer for that. America, we can say it's America meeting, but we can go to individual people and individual organizations. And
within the system, though. They're still within the system of America, within the system of religion, or within the system of whatever the system is, you know? The individuals within the system, if the overwhelming majority of them start to say, yes, this was wrong, this needs to be corrected, then the system will correct itself.
And you can tell by within the system which groups... Yes, go. We did some disgusting, evil word adjectives. You can tell. I want to have just the most, you know, disgusting, evil things. You can tell whether they acknowledge that by how they go forward. Mm-hmm. So I'm willing to forgive anybody, but again, there's a lot of groups you can tell by how they're going forward. Oh, you don't realize the evil that we did and how gross it looks years later. How do you know? I can tell by the way you're going forward. So, no, anybody that is willing to acknowledge what they did wrong, so that maybe I did answer the question. The church still overwhelmingly isn't, not the church. Let's say not the church. So, let's say any organized religion that isn't now screaming at the top of their lungs in the right way No, that's what they're
the optimistic thing you can look at is what you were saying before, which when you give the example of, hey, you got a few forward thinkers and hopefully those 20 people are going to plow past the hundreds of people, is if you do have some churches that are progressive and that are forward thinking.
I acknowledge
that them. Hopefully they can be that handful of people that can push forward the other ones.
Hopefully they can. But while they're doing what they do, any organization, any building that's has people underneath and there's someone speaking at a pulpit or whatever, I totally give them credit for spreading a lot of love in the world.
Right.
I'm not, but I'm just saying overall, as a group to be judged, you know, so that's what I'm saying. So, but you know, okay, go ahead.
All right. Well, we're in agreement on that.
Okay.
Okay. So cool. So let's go back to the philosophy here. Locke believed that the human mind is born a blank slate. We talked about that. Man does not come into the world with preconceived notions or actions, but is a product of his environment. Therefore, a man is dependent on his experience for his understanding of the world, which again goes back to the negative parts of not only religion, but any kind of household that's preaching the wrong thing. I think that that's a fear of anybody, that we are where we come from. And if you don't agree with where you come from 100%, there's a guilt involved in that, you know?
We talked about, like, when you're growing up, do you get all your views from your parents, you know? And some kids don't. Some kids, I think it is so admirable when a child overwhelmingly grows more than his parents. Mm-hmm. And then it's a very hard kid situation that a lot of kids deal with today when they become, not an opinion, not a 13-year-old kid that thinks he's smarter than his parents, but when he genuinely evolves more than his parents. And I'll tell you why it serves the parents wrong. Because you might have something to offer your children in other areas. You might have so much wisdom in one area to offer your child. But when you are so wrong, not a little wrong, so wrong in another area, your kids write you off. And you end up paying the price for that. Because when you tell your child, if you're sexist or you're racist or you're homophobic, and your child already gets that that's not open for debate, that is wrong. Mm-hmm. They doubt the other things you have to offer them. And it sucks when the other things you have to offer them might be so monumental and so large and so great. And at the end of the day, when they dismiss the other things, that's your fault. Because you didn't do a little thing wrong. If you have a child and you tell your child
absolutely
that being
true,
gay
yeah.
is wrong, and being gay, they should pray not to be gay, and you're a young person and you know that your parents are wrong, you might start wondering some other shit they're talking
about. That's
absolutely
true, yeah. And then you wind up questioning other things that you may later find out in life they were right
They
about.
Might be right, but yeah. Guess what? Boo-hoo, it's their fault. It's not like, I had some good things to offer.
It's actually unfair to the child in many ways, because you're not only feeding them false or wrong information, but you're also depriving them of the right information
of the good
that
you have you have to offer. And by the way, I want to reiterate, it's your fault.
Twice.
It's your fault.
You're saying that, but not to me.
No, not to you. Not to you.
As soon as I hear your fault, I just go.
Yeah.
Therefore, a man is dependent on his experience for his understanding of the world. Locke also believes this gives us the freedom to choose whether or not we are good or evil, because we are not predetermined to be one or the other. I agree with that. I guess there's an argument of that some people are born evil into the world.
You know what? Oh, God. You know what? I truly love talking about this stuff, because I'll tell you why. I know where I don't have something to offer. I'm not really good at math. I'm not really good at reading. I bare my soul when it comes to that, and I ask for help. So maybe in this area, maybe I have something to offer. Maybe someone out there that's fighting, like, God, I want to believe what Todd's saying. Like, I always feel I owe it to people when I think the world is getting better. And I feel I owe it to people that go, come on, it doesn't look like it is. Things seem to be falling apart. Things always do before they get better. Mm-hmm. I do think kids are smarter today. They're always smarter. They were smarter in the 50s than they were in the 40s. And they're smarter now. They're always smarter. And that's what everybody wants to not believe. They want to believe that kids, you know, the world's falling apart. Everything used to be right. And now things are falling apart.
Which is a lot of what you've been talking about in your act recently,
yes.
Also. Like, yeah. Don't look back, look forward.
Yeah, a generation of kids didn't come along and go, hey, you know what's been working for all these years? Let's not do it anymore. No, they saw that it wasn't working. And anybody that says, let's go back, the reason they say that, I get it. Maybe if I answer it, it does seem like we said before, when you create a world where everyone's not equal, it's easier for certain people. Sure it is. I'd love to convince you right now that you're not equal. And before you leave, have you cleaned my yard up? It wouldn't be decent. It wouldn't be very, wouldn't have a lot of soul in me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to convince you, and I'd like to convince your girlfriend that she certainly isn't equal, and let her clean my, and let her clean the inside of my house. That'd make my life better.
Pretty clean in here, to be honest with you.
Don't get in the middle of one of my
sorry,
rants.
I'm sorry.
That would make my life easier, but it wouldn't be fair to you two. So yeah, I get why people think let's go back to a time where your wife, if she had a problem, she swallowed it. And if your children had feelings, they swallowed it. And your dad and everybody was. So when you ask that question, I'm going to go full circle here. Are there people that are born into this world with a cross? You know what I mean? Like they're a seed, let's say. There were always children like that. But in the old days, look, I know there's I'll go full circle here, I hope, at least, as far as kids being over-medicated today. I don't want to have a conversation with anybody that thinks children are over-medicated. Believe me, they are. There are a lot of kids that don't maybe need to be on medication, and they don't fucking need it. And that's sad. But I don't want to have that conversation with anybody unless they understand how many children needed something. So unless you can throw off at the mouth of the fucking kids that need it and are living good lives. I know people on medicine that, I mean, it's unfucking believable how it's changed their lives because they found the right thing that they needed. So, but I also noticed when I throw off about if you don't need, if there's a kid out there that shouldn't be on medication, and I get it, and that exists, and it's real. I don't say it in some, oh, sure, there's some kids that don't need on medication, then I plow into my, I get it, and I give it time. But also there's kids that need to be on medication. And they were around in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s too.
Yeah.
They just wrote them off.
Yeah.
They wrote them off. They were crazy. Mm-hmm. They weren't functioning. Look at how many children today that they find out are autistic and there's so many levels. Don't get
this
mad.
This is interesting. This is the opposite opinion of my conversation on the same topic with Janine Garofalo in a past episode where she was saying, oh, I think these are all made up diseases because if you look back in time, nobody had ADD or this and
well,
that.
Well, by the way, Janine is very intelligent, and I believe if we sat in the same room, we could probably get
I'm
to
not,
a place.
I'm not calling
yeah,
her
I know,
wrong
I know you're
and
you're
right or either one. I'm just saying it's an interesting difference in viewpoint.
Well, considering the source, Janine, who I think is very intelligent, I think we could probably come to the same place. But again, I did notice I said, yes, there's over-medicated children in the world.
Right.
But I also know people that, you know, like, again, I get it for a person that might go, God, we have a label for everything. And if I believed in the 50s and 60s that we didn't have all these labels and we didn't, I would go, oh my God, let's find out what they were doing then and do it. I want things to be better. And by the way, you know, like, the reason I like talking about this stuff, because one time I'm always paranoid. I've said some of this stuff before. Some of it on today's show I haven't, so it's been very cathartic for me. But I'm reminding myself all the time, too. By, you know, people can confuse, like, being on a pedestal. There's a big difference between being on a pedestal versus remind yourself what right and wrong is.
Right.
I fuck up. I make big mistakes. I do things that are really wrong. But I hope they hurt me more than others. I hope that the things I do hurt me more than others. That's the difference, I hope. And I've hurt others, but I want to learn from it. And I've done wrong things, but I just want to acknowledge them and try to better myself. And I hope that never comes off as coming off as standing up on a pedestal, because I got so much more shit to learn and so much more stuff to learn. And
I don't want to belittle what you're saying, but I can't thank you for saying that, first of all. But then I hope it hurts me more than other people. And the comedy part of my brain is like, what's the percentage? Like,
what's
how much do you want
what?
It to hurt you, and what percent does it hurt them?
Oh, you're right. I hope it hurts. I hope it only hurts me and no other people. I want it to hurt me 20% and everybody else 80. I'm not going to lie to you.
All right, here's the quotes. I'll read the first one. I'll give you the other two.
Okay.
The first one is, let us then suppose the mind to be, as we say, white paper void of all characters, without any ideas. How comes it to be furnished? Whence comes by the vast store which the busy and boundless fancy of man has painted on it with an almost endless variety? Whence has it all the materials of reason and knowledge? To this I answer in one word, from experience. Well, that one we've really discussed already.
By the way, two things I want to say. One, that quote will never be read from a guy with a beard wearing a Schlitz shirt ever again in the history of the world. And by the way, he is wearing... That was hard for me to follow. Like, do you know what... Am I supposed to... What was he saying?
I could break this one down easily. The first part, let us suppose that the mind is white paper devoid of all care, just a blank sheet of paper without any ideas. How comes it be furnished? Basically furnished as in like bringing ideas in instead of furniture. So how do you bring ideas into the mind? When comes it by vast store, which is the busy and boundless fancy? That part, he just threw that in to throw us off. That doesn't mean anything. If I don't get it, it doesn't mean anything. Every now and then he just tried to fuck with you.
He's just a little fluff. You know, like when you're writing a paper for school and you have to fluff it up a little, I'm sure that's what he was doing there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I do get this. When it comes from a vast store by which busy and boundless fancy of man has painted it with an almost endless variety, an endless variety of thoughts and ideas being painted in this vast store of knowledge, basically. Whence has all the materials of reason and knowledge? To this I answer in one word, from experience, which is actually two words, from experience. So he's a liar. But basically he's saying, where does everything come from when we start in this world as a blank sheet of paper? Our ideas, our opinions, our values basically all just come from our experience. And I think that's true.
It sounds like it's true.
Say by your example of talking about being gay and
hey, edit that out.
I'm sorry. Being shedding the closet, shedding the shed. So your opinions themselves, and it's kind of like the beauty of difference, you know, is that it takes somebody with your experience. Maybe like you could have said to yourself when you were younger, why do I have to be this way? I'm sure you must have had these thoughts as you struggled with the fact that you had an identity that you had felt you had to conceal for so long.
Yeah.
You must have said, well, why does it have to be like this for me? Why do I have to have this struggle? And maybe the simple answer is because you're able to now, years later, say the things you said on this show and inspire and open up people's minds.
That's when people say, does pain come, you know, if we don't have pain, like look.
Growth,
you know,
comes from friction?
I don't think we necessarily have to do that. There's enough pain. Like, in other words, I think you're lucky when you, and by the way, my pain is nothing compared to, I'm trying to be very fair here. I was lucky. My parents were cool about it. I dealt with society,
sure.
But I don't consider my struggle. It's there, but the reason but there's other kids, I always say kids, but there's other kids that don't have it so easy. They might have an internal problems in their family not accepting you, so the outside world doesn't accept you. That's one thing, but at least you have your mom and dad,
right? No support
gay
system,
kids
man.
Don't get that, you know what I mean? So but my struggle was, you know, I even feel funny using the word struggle because comparing it, but
I don't think you should have to feel bad about that,
right? So as far as what you were saying about like
goes back to your
going
the redhead
back to,
example.
Yeah, it's all worth
everybody,
it.
It's all relative. Right. So,
but saying it's all worth it because then you make good out of it.
Well, no, I'm not saying it's all worth it, but what I am saying is that the good that comes out of it, at least, is the experience that you're able to talk to people who don't have the experience and open their minds.
I think when it happens, so, you do exactly what you just said, and you try to take it, right. But you still want to stop it for other generations, because there's people go, well, without pain, we wouldn't have music and all that stuff. There's still
For it to be stopped for those other generations, there has to be a turning point,
right?
Which means, okay, yes, maybe it's painful for your situation, but hopefully in that pain, you can eliminate that pain for the future.
Right. Yeah, but like, you know, when kids are bullied and people go, hey, I was bullied as part of who I am. Life will bring on enough pain when it's not inflicted by other human beings. We're still going to have our first death. We're still going to have our first love that we lose.
Sure.
So there's enough, even if no one's cruel to us, don't worry. There'll be plenty of pain for us to have poetry and music. Mm-hmm. We don't have to like letting it keep perpetuating itself for children thinking, well, that's part of life. You go through that. No, there's enough pain. We don't need to instill it on people. But you're right. When it happens, you just hopefully do
because
what anybody does.
I think, like, you know, it would be, you'd be hard pressed to find someone who can speak as articulately and passionately about these things as you just did, who hasn't gone through it. So it is your experience that's helped you form these opinions, which can then you can transfer and share with the world. I think that's basically the good way of looking at what he's saying there.
Yes.
Okay, so we have two more quotes. I'll let you read this next one.
Parents wonder why the streams are bitter when they themselves have poisoned the fountain.
That's exactly what you were saying before. right? When you were talking to parents and saying, like, you know, you do have to take a certain responsibility when you're raising a child, like the shooter kids. Like,
well, as far as that goes, again, I touched into that area. I want to be very, very careful not to go too far into it because I don't. It's you know what? I will say this about it. We trust experts in this world when it comes to mechanics more than we do the human mind. All these questions can be answered. People that study the human brain, like, should we hit children? Should we not hit children? Should we? The answers are all there. All you have to do is not want to be right. You just want things to be right. They've done enough studies, and when it comes to advancements in society, we listen to those things, like what car to buy. We trust experts. So when it comes to what you just said about that, I tend to divert. I would want to sit down and talk to people as far as what children are born with, what they're not born with, and educate myself. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to, like, what that quote just said to me, it's sort of like bullying. Look, kids, it's innate in children to bully, but a lot of it is learned indirectly from their parents. Not evil people either. Parents that you would meet and they'd be so nice and so caring, but kids hear shit around the house. And just because as a parent you're not walking up to somebody and pushing them into a locker, a lot of that stuff is perpetuated by what they hear around the house. Now, if a child lives in a house, because this is where most people go to that don't want to change, and there is, let's say, call it, they just don't hear any negativity about people in their home. Virtually none. Whether it's whatever it is, they're just a very loving, forward-thinking mom and dad that just really, they make mistakes, and sometimes they might yell more than they should, and sometimes, but overall, there's a lot of love. That child probably will still bully someone at school. I get it. It's in us, but a lot fucking less. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that stuff is perpetuated by what they hear around the house. They hear a lot of judgment, and then they go to school, and then they take that and do different things with it than their parent will. So like I said, although their parent might not kick someone into the locker, them hearing that gay people shouldn't be able to get married, or women shouldn't be able to do this, or black, I wouldn't want my daughter marrying a black person, or a black person saying, I wouldn't want my daughter marrying a white person.
It acts as the catalyst for them to push somebody into a locker.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. That makes sense. So that a lot of bullying is perpetuated mm-hmm. by the parents.
All right, here's the last one.
Here's the last one. All righty. No man's knowledge here can go beyond his experience. So you can't have more knowledge than your experience here.
Yeah, I guess life. Here being in this world.
Yeah. This person that I like a lot of the quotes because, you know, like I said, I'm not positive. I'm pretty sure, I'm not going to lie, that what I'm saying is in the right area as far as decency. And but doesn't mean I don't make mistakes. But by hearing what this guy's saying, it makes me feel good because it's like going, well, he is sort of echoing mm-hmm. in a more brilliant way maybe some of the things that I feel like. That's sort of saying, yeah, the experience is here on this earth, and what he said before about, yeah, learn, you know, don't come into the world with preconceived. Just listen, learn, and you'll tend to, you know, wanting to be right sure will fuck up this world.
Yeah.
Just wanting to be right. And you know how I know that happens? You might think, well, how do you know it happens? Because I've done it when I was younger. And maybe, you know what I mean? I've known I was wrong halfway through an argument with somebody, and I want to be right. So when you want to be right, it fucks things up.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're in an argument with your significant other and you do it, you know what I mean? They made a really good point inwardly. You're like,
it destroys a relationship. It destroys
relationship, and it destroys the world. Just wanting to be right. And by the way, what's so bad about it is we don't usually do it when it comes to trusting what educated people know about computers and phones, because that makes us breathe easier. So we want that type of advancement. You know, when forward, brilliant people are coming up with the new best cell phone or the way to, you know, the better dishwasher, we want that because it makes our life easier. But when you change some of your preconceived notions, that might make someone else breathe easier. Might be a little harder for you because you had this thought in your head, but let go of it.
Right. And so I guess I'd add the caveat, wanting to be right in spite of evidence that would prove you're wrong, in spite of knowing that you're wrong.
Yeah.
Wanting to be right, and it's, you know what? It's not even wanting to be, because I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with wanting to be right. It's insisting that you're right.
Even when
in spite of anything else.
Right, and I know people that are, you know, think differently. They don't want to think of it that way, but mm-hmm. trust me, that's what it is. Like, I go to the, I'm going to just repeat the same one, so I don't, because I know it's a clean argument. When it comes to, like, you know, the way to raise children, If you sit around with five border
collies,
board certified, you know, psychologists that have studied this, overwhelmingly, besides lunatics, the test results are in. So if you're listening right now and you think, no, hitting can be good, there's a blockage. There is a blockage. You are the poster child for just wanting to be right. Yeah, you can get a lunatic out there that believes hitting's right. You'll find them. By the way, if you think you're right now, I know somebody. You're damn fucking right. There are people out there that will tell you still that hitting a child's okay. Sure, they exist. But you wouldn't let it, if someone told you, hey, you have clogged arteries and you need, I'm going to go to that, you need open heart surgery, you'd listen. You wouldn't find the lunatic that said, well, you know, you can just do this with drinking more water. You'd find that lunatic, but how come you, when it comes to your own health, you want to go with the mass doctors, the educated, the overwhelmingly mass, when it comes to your health, you're going to trust it. Do that with other things.
Yeah,
I agree. That with other things.
And then you can be the poster child for something good.
Yeah.
I always just want to be a poster child.
Me too. Yeah. What could I be the poster child
just
for?
Put me on a fucking poster.
Thank you. That's all I fucking ever wanted. I feel like we have a good wrap up here.
Yeah.
All we both want is to be on a goddamn poster. Just,
it's getting on the right poster.
I'm going to make a poster with you on it.
Yeah.
Danny Lobel.
It's something immortal about it, you know?
Just very excited for you. You know, we should have a dinner.
Okay.
I never had a dinner.
Eggplant Parmesan?
Is that your favorite?
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's do some eggplant Parmesan.
Who doesn't love eggplant Parmesan? So good. The first bite, picture the cheese, and then through the chicken.
Damn.
You know what I like when they make it?
There's no chicken in Parmesan.
Oh, there isn't?
You're thinking of chicken Parmesan.
Oh, I like that too.
Huh.
We both walk away from each other.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, well, right, this was a complete waste of time. Jesus Christ. Everybody, thank you again for tuning in. It would really mean a lot to me if you had any time this week, if you could jump on iTunes and leave 5 stars and a nice comment on the page. The show could use some visibility on the iTunes charts. It hasn't had it for a while, and I know it's a bit of a pain to jump on there, but it really would mean a lot to me, and it costs nothing to do. So again, if you can, jump on iTunes and leave a nice comment and some nice five. Why not go all the way? Five stars? Can you do that? Please? Okay. ModernDayPhilosophers.net is the website. You can make a donation there. It would change my life for the better. I could use it. And other than that, the Facebook, facebook.com/ModernDayPhilosophers, at Danny LaBelle on Twitter. Go to StandUpCrap.com. Pick up Eddie Pepitone's newly remastered and unbelievably funny album. All right, everybody. Have a great week, and I'll see you for the first time ever. Well, not for the first time. This is a Tuesday, but... But you didn't know. You might have been wondering what happened on Monday. I'll see you next Tuesday. Okay, everybody. Bye-bye.